Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Hobo Station.
That wouldn't be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And it's so versatile. So many great things you can do with beef. Big cuts, small cuts, long cook, short cook. Beef always is the star of the show of any weekend barbecue. So make it happen for yourself. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Guys, we are 37 days away from the start of the college football season, as we're recording anyway, 36 as you're listening. And you want to get some new gear. You know, that old tattered Banner M polo, it's time to go. It's time to get with the new program, the interlocking and the state script. Get it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. Ring shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Robbie and I dined at Restaurant Tyler yesterday, and you guys will be shocked to hear that it was awesome. It was really good. It's always good. Yesterday was exceptional. It was just good. Service was on point. I never even had to ask for a refill. That young lady kept bringing them. She was like, "Got you another Coke Zero." I was like, "Thank you."
We were like halfway done with our drink, and she was filling it right back up.
She's already back. Yeah. So great service.
Service is always great.
Great people.
Food's usually fast.
Great food.
Yeah, it was good.
You can't go wrong. Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only are they going to help you manage your money and invest, but prepare for your future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to get service from a bank that knows you the same way they know about your money. That's Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Obviously, you know, some MSU sports, we will get to it. If you are not a fan of the business of professional wrestling, it is time. I will tweet out a time that you start tuning in. Because there is no way that Robbie Falk and Brian Haydad are going to do this show today and not start with the passing of the immortal Hulk Hogan. Robbie, I've been doing this. Let's do it again. I'll ask a question. You tell me. There's a difference between a wrestler and a performer, okay? A wrestler, Hulk Hogan, not the greatest of all time, all right?
Top 100, probably.
Probably not. Although his matches in Japan, surprisingly good. You can find
More his style. He's a big battering ram type guy.
But he does some wrestling in those. But that's fine. He's not Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Bryan Danielson, whatever you want to say. But in terms of a performer, in terms of an attraction, the greatest of all time is Hulk Hogan, and he without question is the main reason professional wrestling is what it is today. And so we talked yesterday about, you know, when we did the rumblings, I guess, about separating performers and their art from the person. And I think that Bunky Perkins may have tweeted this. It was basically Hulk Hogan, awesome. Terry Bollea, maybe not so much. But Hulk Hogan, we loved, we gave so much adoration to. And he's a guy that, how many people can say he was the best good guy of all time and the best bad guy of all time? Because you can make a strong case he's both.
Yes. And To your point about the, not a good guy. I mean, I think with that we could probably say that about most celebrities.
So many
I
people,
mean,
yeah.
anytime that you get somebody that's corrupted with money and power and fame and thing, you're going to find behind the scenes that there's a lot of things about them that aren't great. And that's why over the last few years, I've just told myself, you know what? I'm going to not even think about what happens with this person behind the scenes. I'm going to judge them based on what they do on the things that I consume. So if I'm consuming their music, their movies, what they do in wrestling, whatever, who they are away from their character and what they're how they're performing is up to them and God for me. Like I'm not gonna whatever they do then, I don't care. I'm not trying to dismiss that, but
Right.
for me, if I'm talking about Hulk Hogan, I'm talking about the Hulkster. I'm talking about a guy that picked up a giant and slammed him through the mat and set the whole world ablaze at WrestleMania 3 or WrestleMania. Yeah, it is WrestleMania 3, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for me, like my first thought whenever Ozzy Osbourne died wasn't, oh, he worshiped Satan back in the 80s and think like. I just remember how I felt when I listened to his music. And the music made me happy. I enjoyed listening to his music. When I watched Hulk Hogan against The Rock at WrestleMania 17 or WrestleMania 18,
18.
it was unlike anything I'd ever seen in my life. Because we went into that, Hulk Hogan was the bad guy and The Rock was the good guy. And that was in Canada. And that crowd absolutely flipped. They went the exact opposite way. And that's what happens in wrestling sometimes. Sometimes the
It
crowd
changes on the
changes
fly.
everything.
Yeah.
And so Hulk Hogan at that time was Hollywood Hulk Hogan. He was the bad guy. The Rock was a super baby face, becoming a budding star. No one expected that kind of reaction. But everybody in that building, they wanted the old Hulk back. And when he was hulking up, when he got dropped for the rock bottom and he kicked out on two and the crowd went nuts, like I still watch that. And to this day, it's been almost 20 years. I still get chill bumps. And you look out in that crowd, there's people that are probably ranging from age 25 to 50 that are absolutely losing their minds. And all I can think about is like those people in that moment are 7 years old again. And they're seeing somebody that to them was a superhero. And when we were watching wrestling, we were younger,
He was.
I came in at the tail end of Hulk and WWF. And when he came into WCW, that's the Hulk Hogan that I first saw. Although I was renting all the videos at Discount Video in Louisville of Hulk Hogan slamming Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan beating Sergeant Slaughter, the matchups with Macho Man and the superpowers, mega powers match up with Ultimate Warrior. I watched that stuff growing up. So Hulk Hogan to us, we saw the promos and we saw who he was when he came out and he wrestled, he hulked up and he got that jolt of electricity from the fans. He was a literal like superhuman to us. He was immortal. He was somebody that was larger than life. He was literally a cartoon character. They made a cartoon out of him. If you don't follow wrestling, you know who Hulk Hogan is. So it's a tremendous hit on pop culture and wrestling to lose a figure like that. And we've always known Hulk Hogan as the guy. He's wearing a do-rag and sunglasses and a cut-off shirt, and he always looked like, despite the balding hair, he always looked like he was in pretty good shape, and he was fairly young and things like that. I know things got kind of rough here at the end for him, but it's a sad day for people that have followed professional wrestling and even some of those that kind of lightly followed it.
I've always wondered about that WrestleMania 18. I think being in Canada was a huge part of that because WCW didn't really run Canadian shows very often, right? So those fans had not seen Hulk Hogan live in decades, maybe
Yeah.
even going all the way back to WrestleMania 6 for a lot of those guys. Whereas if that show had been in Atlanta, or anywhere in the South for sure, but even in like Maryland or something like that, I don't know that you get the same reaction. But the nostalgia was just so huge. We talked about Hogan on this show earlier this year when Cena made his turn, because if you're going to talk about the greatest heel turns of all time, Hulk Hogan's is number one to me. Now, I had Cena at number one for the moment. I got to be honest, what's happened after has not been to the level of the turn. Whereas the entire run from Hogan at the Bash at the Beach to, I'll say, Starrcade '97, right? That match kind of deflates what happened there. But you had a solid, basically, year and a half of elite level work from Hulk Hogan. He was the biggest face of all time, the guy that everybody thought would never, ever be a bad guy. It's difficult to put into words how shocking it was when he dropped that leg on Randy Savage and joined Scott Hall and Kevin Nash.
It was the greatest heel turn of
It
all
is.
time.
It's number one. I had seen it number one, but I can't keep it there after what's happening. I
And
have to.
I think you could make a case that Hulk Hogan is simultaneously the greatest babyface and the greatest
Yes.
heel ever.
Yes. Yeah. I said that a little bit earlier. Yeah, I agree with that. That is. He's certainly the greatest babyface. Hulkamania, Hulk Hogan, from the time he beats the Iron Sheik to the time he loses to the Ultimate Warrior, that stretch, that 3-year run, he is the greatest babyface of all time. You can argue different heels, but Hollywood Hulk Hogan, from the time he beats, who did he take the title off of? The
Iron
Giant.
Sheik.
No. They're talking about Hollywood Hulk Hogan. He beat the
Oh.
Giant. From that till he loses the title at Starrcade to Sting, is as good a heel run as anybody. I mean, look, people were openly throwing trash in the ring at him, and he was like, bring it on. He completely flipped his character. He completely flipped everything you thought about him. You can, as big as he was. As big as he was in the 80s, he was equally as big in the 90s for different reasons. I mean, the pop culture relevance of Hulkamania is similar to the pop culture relevance of Hollywood Hulk Hogan. You had, even in the 80s, I never saw people wearing like Hulkamania t-shirts around town or anything like that, but you saw NWO t-shirts everywhere. Like, you'd just be at the
Yeah.
mall at the grocery store and somebody was wearing an NWO t-shirt. He had a basically from 1983 to 1998, a 15-year run as he was the top guy in professional wrestling. That is unprecedented. Austin didn't have that long. The Rock, The Undertaker, Flair. Flair's is a little different because Flair was clearly the top guy in his promotion, but he wasn't as big a star. Wrestling fans knew who Ric Flair was. Flair has gotten a lot more cultural significance in his later years, after his wrestling career is over, but he was never what Hulk Hogan was. And then on top of that, he was in movies, he was on television, he did cartoons, he had merchandise, he had TV shows, he was everywhere. Hulk Hogan was a legitimate phenomenon in his prime.
And he, I don't think that you can discount what he did in shaping wrestling to become more of like a mainstream entertainment thing. Like, he is at the forefront of the rock and wrestling deal, which to me was the beginning of wrestling really pushing out beyond just this like niche product that a certain fan base followed to reaching a new audience. Because they start that WrestleMania and he's involved with Mr. T, who was a huge part of pop culture at the time.
Massive star at that time.
He was in Rocky before he really exploded. It was Thunderlips and Rocky, and that was a big deal too. My wife's calling me, so just went sideways.
My mom's calling me, so we've got all
How about
sorts.
that? Cyndi Lauper, they brought all of them in there. So Hulk Hogan was the face of that. He goes to WCW and kind of they really pushes them up to the top of professional wrestling, at least for in terms of ratings week to week. And nobody thought that WCW was going to be able to compete with WWF.
No.
Nobody. But they had become stale. WWF had become stale. They had older superstars that were kind of past their prime, moving out. They started going towards this gimmick thing, and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall started to shift that a little bit and created the NWO. And initially, the plan was from creative for Sting to be that third guy. And
So
I
there were like
don't think
four
that
guys
this.
they mentioned, and Hogan was the last one. They thought you mentioned Sting.
Well,
They
they didn't want Hogan to turn.
Right. They wanted him to be the face of WCW who fought the NWO. So they had Sting. They talked about Bret Hart, and then Bret Hart re-signed with WWF. They talked about Shawn Michaels maybe coming over. That never really got anywhere. And then Hogan realized, and give Hogan look, a lot is made of Hogan and his ego, and you know his some of the fact that he had creative control over his own character, so he could pick when he went won or lost. But give him credit for being savvy enough to realize this is the way. And in doing so, you're correct. I was a guy who watched Nitro, some, and Raw religiously. That flipped. I became a guy, I would not miss a second of Nitro, and then when Nitro was over, I'd go over to Raw. And it took the Austin McMahon thing to bring me back to Raw kind of permanently. He was just the word I like to use is attraction, right? Like for our parents, it might be more like Elvis and the Beatles. That's what Hulk Hogan was. He was like the Beatles. He couldn't go anywhere. He if he anywhere he went, he was mobbed in the street. There would never have been a professional wrestler on Johnny Carson back in the 80s. Like Lou Fez and Harley Race, those guys were never going to be on a night on an evening talk show. Hulk Hogan was. He was a superstar. He was that you could probably make a case like 83, 84, 85 that he's the biggest star in the world. He's as big as any movie star, any musician. He's right there at the top. And when you talk about a professional wrestler, that is a difficult. I mean, Roman Reigns, as big a star as he is right now, Cody Rhodes, all those guys, even Cena, they're not even in the same building of what Hogan was in the mid 80s.
No, and they're all kind of following his lead. You think John Cena is who he is if Hulk Hogan didn't come along? Like, he set the tone for everybody. The Rock, Triple H, even Stone Cold. So, I mean, he was different, and they've kind of found their own thing, but he set the tone for all of them. And we didn't watch Nitro and even, probably WWF back in the day, we didn't watch that for Hulk Hogan's 5-star matches.
No,
We watched it
no.
because of the character that he was, and he'd get on the mic and he'd cut a promo, holding the world on his shoulders and slamming the giant on the mat, and the whole earth shakes. Like that stuff, like it kind of, when you watch that when you're a kid, it takes you away from the fact that that's not physically possible, and you actually start to think that this guy could literally pick up a Mack truck if it was on top of an old lady and throw it. Like that's like you think that this guy is literally the strongest man alive and is Superman incarnate right there in front of you. That's what he did so well. And that's what I'm going to remember the most of. I'm not going to remember all the junk on the outside. I'm going to remember those promos he cut with Mean Gene and the jealous eyes with Macho Man, and you got the Mega Power
And
shirt
a Mega
on.
Power shirt on, yeah.
I'm also going to remember the match he had with Shawn Michaels, where Shawn Michaels was like bouncing
Oversell.
around the ring. That
He
was
kicked him,
incredible.
and Shawn Michaels shoots out the ring like he's been shot.
That's
My
what
hope.
make that's the stuff that makes it so great. That
Yeah.
kind of stuff is what makes wrestling so great. So, like, we know that that isn't real, but the character, the fact that, Hulk Hogan is pretending that he can pick up a literal giant above his head and throw him into the crowd, like, that stuff is what we live for,
So, if I'm ranking Hogan matches isn't really a thing, right? Because we're not talking about 60-minute classics. But Hogan Andre is, I mean, in terms again of being an attraction, 90,000 people in Detroit, Michigan to watch this match. And as a, I guess I would have been like 11. it's impossible to understand what that match was. You're like, here's Andre the Giant, the man who had never been defeated. Now, that's not true, but if it didn't happen on TV, it didn't happen. So Andre the Giant had never lost. Hogan, champion for 3 years. Andre the Giant was this big, as a giant, was this big, kind guy. Everybody loved him. When he walked out on Piper's Pit with Bobby Heenan, it would have been like my mom walking out with him. Like, why is Andre the Giant here? It's impossible to overstate. So that, the match at Skydome with the Ultimate Warrior, again, not a feast for the eyes, but the passing of the torch. And I think if we could go back in time, Vince McMahon would have been like, you know, maybe we don't need to pass the torch here after all. Maybe we don't need to put the Warrior over. That's one. From WCW days, the two matches that stand out to me are two matches that he lost. His match against Lex Luger on Nitro, where he loses, he drops the title. Now, Luger drops it back to him like a week later. But in that moment, Hogan was invincible, and they finally got him. That was an incredible moment to see that. And then, of course, Hogan versus Goldberg, which legitimately might be the best match of Goldberg's career. Like, of all the people in the world, Hulk Hogan carried that guy for like a 10-minute match and got a lot out of him and made it look really good. And I mean, to win that in that huge, I mean, in the Georgia Dome in front of what, 50,000 people? You think about people who have performed. Like, I'll put Hogan's attendance numbers up against anybody. That guy's played in front of massive, massive crowds. Missing a match.
He went to Japan, like you mentioned earlier. I mean, he's been all over the world. They had a Nitro at the Georgia Dome, which was unprecedented, where he fought Goldberg. Is that the was he fight Goldberg that time? It was Georgia. That was like unprecedented back in the day. Look at the crowd that he had with it, he and Rock. I mean, and that crowd was not. Was not there for just anybody. I mean,
No, they were not
that
there. What's the main event that night? It's Triple H versus Jericho, right?
is that was that what it
I think that's
was?
right. They're not there
See,
for
I don't
that.
remember hardly anything from that
That's the
Mania.
main event. That was the main
That's
event.
what
It might
stood
as
out.
well have been, yeah.
It's essentially what Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat
Yeah.
were, in
Austin
some
and Bret
regards.
Hart, you know, although there's so many matches on WrestleMania history that here, this was the main event, but this is the match that everybody remembers. Hogan versus Rock is that match for WrestleMania 18. It's not even close. So this guy, he sold out. I mean, is there an arena in this country, a stadium in this country, that Hulk Hogan didn't sell out when he was in it? I mean, everywhere, everywhere. And
I got a chance to go to, I know you did too, to see some WCW events back when he was
I
there,
did.
and it was surreal. I went to the Ice Palace in Tampa to watch WCW Nitro, and it was that episode whenever Diamond Dallas Page was had Karl Malone and Hulk Hogan had Dennis Rodman, and like those were the tag team matchup that was going to happen at the next pay-per-view. And seeing Hulk Hogan at that was just absolutely surreal. And people forget, or maybe don't even know, how big that dude was. I mean,
Massive
he was a
dude.
legitimate 6'8", 6'9". I mean, just an absolute like monster human being. I mean, he towered over a lot of the wrestlers out there.
And
And it was just surreal to hear Voodoo Child and to see him come out and play in the belt like a guitar. The guy was just the epitome of cool. And it's one of those deals like fake it till you make it, because like we said, he wasn't a very good wrestler. He really wasn't. He wasn't a very good wrestler compared to some of the others that came along. But you thought that this guy was a monster. I mean, you really did. You thought that whoever he went in the ring with, he was going to beat because he was massive and he looked cool and he had that aura about him. He was perfect for that profession. And like it's hard to imagine someone that set the tone for the direction they went into like Hulk Hogan did.
You think about wrestling events. Like, they wrestled at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. Now, imagine at some point saying, hey, we want to have a wrestling event there. Those people would have been like, absolutely not. Like, there's probably some wrestling fans in that demographic, but by and large, they've been like, no. But you attach Hulk Hogan to it, And at that time, what he was doing in the wrestling, they were like, absolutely, we'll do it. And it was a huge success. The ability for Nitro to take over Club LaVella on spring break. Like,
Yes.
there's a time in history where the people who own Club LaVella have been like, absolutely not. Why would we do such a thing? But they were like, no, let's do that. We're going to have a packed house on a Monday night because Hulk Hogan and WCW are coming here. You know, I'm sure, you think about NFL stadiums. We mentioned the Silverdome. I'm sure he sold out the Superdome. We mentioned the Georgia Dome. He would have sold out. I'm trying to think my way around. I mean, this is a guy who, how many times did he sell out Madison Square Garden? Probably over 100 more, if not. His legacy is another thing in terms of legacy. We said the guy himself may not have been the best person, but say your prayers, take your vitamins, was something parents could tell their children, like, hey, that's Hulk Hogan, that's your hero. He says his prayers every night, he takes his vitamins, he works hard. That's what you need to do. He became a role model for a lot of kids out there and who would take their vitamins because Hulk Hogan told them to. So my guess is he probably, and even indirectly, did a lot of good in his life as a performer through the message he had as in the first half of his career. What an unbelievable legend. And I was thinking about this. You know, you think about my childhood. WWF was Hulk Hogan versus Roddy Piper. They're both gone now. The other side was Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty's been gone for quite some time, and Rick is hanging on for dear life. He's gonna be the last one to go. But
I do not understand how Ric
he's
Flair is
he should
still
have been the
alive.
first. You know, and Savage obviously with Hogan is gone as well. So, you know, we're the next group of wrestlers that go when we talk about the iconic guys are gonna be the guys who we were a little like Sting, Luger, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. That's the next group. Hogan was one of the last of the big ones from the 80s. And now Flair is really the only one left now. So, I mean,
Yeah, and that
the
group,
beat marches on, my friend.
I mean, let's be honest, they're all lucky. The ones, I mean, even Hogan to make it to where he is now, they're all lucky to still be alive. You know, Ric Flair's lucky to still be alive. The stuff they've put their body through over the years, that era was rough. It was big time rough. You talk about the steroids and the drugs and alcohol and the pills and things that they had to take, because you know Hogan was probably one of the first, I would say, to get a guaranteed contract. I don't know who was number one on that, but he was probably one of the first to get a guaranteed contract.
Yeah, he
When they
made a
first
lot of money
started,
for people.
you were paid based on the work that you did.
Right.
So you go to a show, you get paid for it. Hogan was one of the first that actually got a guaranteed contract. And so what I'm getting at is those guys to stay in the ring so they continue to get paid were taking steroids, were taking pills, were popping pills left and right just so they could hide their injuries so they can continue to get paid. So, I mean, look at all those guys that have passed over the last 15 to 20 years that came up in that era that had massive heart attacks, drug abuse that led to death, suicide. That was a very difficult time coming up in the wrestling business. And guys like Hulk Hogan, you know, he could count his blessings that he made it to 70. You know, Ric Flair to be approaching, what, close to 80, maybe
How old is Flair?
75. He's lucky,
Flair
man,
is
because those
72.
guys.
He just turned 76 in February.
Unbelievable. Those guys are lucky to still be here, because that was a tough time. And you know, thank God that has kind of worked his way out. You don't see very many people in the business now that struggle with any kind of addiction, or and they've also really worked on having parameters in
They've
place
made
to
it
help.
better, yeah.
Yeah. So just a tough time going up. I mean, and he was a shark, man. I mean, he was a shark. He ate everything alive, and he also elevated the business, and he made a lot of money for a lot of people too. So, but definite legend. This week has been really difficult.
Legend gets thrown around a little loosely these days, but because I mean, I love Malcolm Jamal Warner, but legend's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan, there's no question, no gray area. Legendary guys. And people will talk about Hulk Hogan forever. People will talk about Ozzy Osbourne forever. If you do a Mount Rushmore of rock and roll music, of especially of heavy metal, Ozzy's probably George Washington. He's probably the first face on there.
I
If
was
you do
thinking about Ozzy. Look at the people that were accompanying him
Yeah,
in
everybody
his
wanted to be part of
bands.
that. Yeah. Yeah.
The guitar players especially, there's not been a single artist that has the collection of guitar players like Ozzy assembled.
Oh yeah.
And you know, Led Zeppelin, they've had the same guy. You know, a lot of those AC/DC, they have their one
Same
guy, so
guy.
it's a
Yeah.
little different, but to have four or five like legitimate, like legendary elite guitar players says something about Ozzy. He was respected in that way. And you could probably talk to any, not even just heavy metal, but rock or even different genres musician, and they will tell you that in some form or fashion, Ozzy Osbourne influenced their career. That something that he did, that some music, that some song that they heard by him influenced them in some way. And so it sucks, man. Like, we all knew that eventually Ozzy was probably going to move on pretty soon. He was in rough shape. Hulk has been in recent weeks apparently
Having some
bad
trouble.
shape.
Yeah.
But it stings when you know that that someone that's so iconic.
When you get the text,
Yeah.
when somebody, I was in one of my group texts, they were like, "Oh, Hulk Hogan." I was like, "Oh no." And I, got on Twitter and you see it and you're just like, I mean, the first word out of your mouth is always, "Damn."
Yeah.
Just sucks. So.
I've welled up or cried for four celebrity deaths
Okay.
in my life. Kobe,
I did.
Chris Cornell, and then twice this week, Ozzy and Hulk.
Just
And
sucks.
it just, I mean, and these people are people that
Didn't
I've
well up
never
for
put my
Hogan.
hands on, I've never spoken a word to, but they have influenced our lives in some form or fashion, whether it's through music, through sports, or through entertainment.
I didn't well up for Hogan. But I feel like I will on Friday on SmackDown when they air
Yeah.
the tribute video, which you know they will do. That will probably get me. When Flair goes, that's going to be a tough day. Going to be a
That's gonna
tough
be
day.
rough.
So, Hulk
Well,
Hogan.
we've done most of the show on wrestling, and the last time that we did something like this was for Dusty Rhodes' death, myself and Joel Coleman.
I can
And
promise you this show won't get deleted.
VSporto made us delete that show. It was the most viewed show that Joel Coleman and I had ever had on
Yeah.
that show. They made us delete that show. So
This one will stay up, I promise.
guess who's still podcasting out there?
There you
Me
go.
and Joel are still doing a little business in that. I don't know about the others.
Hulk Hogan, August 11th, 1953 to July 24th, 2025. Rest in peace, brother. We will miss the Hulkster. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. Not a whole lot of Mississippi State sports going on today. But I tell you what, we had a lovely rant, not a rant, but we had lovely moments there. I'll let Robbie loose off the chain here, talk a little uniforms in the second half of the show. How about that? But first, we got to talk about Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food you are looking for. It's also going to be the place to find Sports Talk Mississippi. Sports Talk Mississippi, we're about to embark on you're going to like our name, I think. It's the STM Not Fall Camp Tour.
Okay. I'm kind of getting on board with you. I've started calling it
It's
training
not
camp.
fall. It's
I
not.
think about it. I actually think about it whenever
Yeah,
I'm
preseason.
about to say it.
So we will be at Two Brothers on August 13th for a live show. We're going to have a ton of stuff to give away, including some Genteel polos. So, Robbie, get up there early and get you a polo. We'll see if we can't have an extra one for you. We're gonna have some great giveaways from Genteel, from Pearl River Resorts, so on and so forth. That's gonna be at Two Brothers. We want you to come out, get you a table, grab a beer, grab some wings, and enjoy yourself at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service, Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. I thought for sure you'd go Hogan there and give me a 50, brother.
Dadgummit. I should have.
I was just ready for it.
Can we rewind?
That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
There we go. Yeah. When you need...
Hello, me, Gene.
Well, let me tell you, brother. When you need a new copier, when you need a new printer, the place to go is Advantage Business Systems, brother. They've got...
What was the one where he was like doing the backstroke out of there?
Oh, yeah. I'll see if I can make that happen. They got 50 years of experience, brother. They've been the number one longer than the Hulkster. If you need a new copier today, you call 601-362-9192, brother, and they'll take care of you. Let Advantage Business Systems show you how they do business. There we go. There's our tribute there. If you're going to be in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. But if you can't make it there, the Maroon & Co. website is the place to go. Everything maroon and white under one roof. Nobody in the city of Starkville with a bigger or better selection of Mississippi State gear than our good friends at Maroon & Co. Check them out before the season starts. Check them out the first weekend of the season. When you're here in Starkville, the second weekend of the season, when you're here in Starkville, if you're in Starkville, you need to make sure a trip to Maroon & Co. is on the agenda. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. I don't know what they are. Neither do you. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. If you're going to be in the yard this weekend, you need to make a trip to see our friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Put that John Deere power to work and make that trip around the lawn a little bit faster and a little bit easier. The best know that John Deere is what makes your lawn look like a champ. A John Deere commercial mower, a compact tractor, a gator, whatever you need, it's there at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. And they've got great deals, 0% financing in some instances. Whatever you're doing around the house this weekend, a trip to Scruggs will make that job a little bit easier. So head up to Saltillo, see our friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, yeah,
because I've just been triggered by this person that tweeted at you.
Okay.
If you're one of these people that your response to us talking about this person that is important to us in our childhood and growing up is wrestling isn't real, please just shut up. Just please shut up. I'm so tired of hearing that.
I'm tired of the wrestling isn't real thing because y'all, if you got a small child in the car, turn it down for like 10 seconds. Here we go.
I mean, you've already tweeted it, so.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. Yeah. It's fake, no shit. You know what? You know what? Also, dragons aren't real either. But I watched Game of Thrones. I don't think that Bryan Cranston sells meth on the real.
This entire time, I thought that The Undertaker
was an actual dead man.
Had actually been buried alive and killed and came back from the dead. And Kane, who burned his house down and killed both of his parents, was running rampant across the WWE and eventually became the mayor of Knoxville. This whole time, I thought that was actually happening.
I thought
that Mark Henry and Mae Young actually conceived a child that came out as a hand.
I'm really sad.
I thought this was all true.
I'm really sad I didn't ask him about the hand. I should have asked him. But you're right. It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
I mean, just shut up. Like, what are you trying to prove? We're talking about a person that we watched growing up that is one of the most famous people in the world.
Yeah.
We're talking about him passing away and talking about his career in entertainment that we've made very clear it's entertainment.
Yeah.
And your response is, hey, wrestling isn't real. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Just keep it to yourself. I don't come to your account and talk about whatever. God knows what you're talking about.
I do. If you tweet something like that to me, I immediately look at your account. And if you tweeted anything about a movie or a television show, I'm firing right back. Luckily,
this guy's talking about some audio book that he read. Was that book reality? Was it true?
Let me see the. This is Stephen Gunther. So if you're listening, Stephen, go to hell.
Did you know that you're named after? I'm just going to assume you're named after professional wrestler Gunther.
Yeah. Oh, but here, he so Hulk Hogan dying gets a wrestling is fake. And Burrell dies gets a very sad. Like, why are we picking and choosing here, buddy? I don't know. I don't know. All right.
The people that just like
That
thumb
was
their nose at wrestling
I
and
can't deal with them. Like, I can't deal with them. All right.
I'm sure we can find something that's
I wouldn't take me
just
long.
as bad and
Wouldn't
things
be.
that you like. But you know what? I don't care.
Well,
I don't care what
that's the main
someone
thing.
else likes or dislikes.
Hulk Hogan dies. That'll be his legacy will be talked about for hundreds of years. Like in the year 2125, people will still know who Hulk Hogan was. You? Me? Not so much.
No
So,
one outside of our little circle.
yeah, my.
Wrestling is one of the most popular things in the world.
It's so annoying. So annoying when people do that. All right. Our guy Brandon Langlois decided just to drop a bomb on your message board last night and says that Mississippi State has worked it out with EA Sports and that the interlocking uniforms are going to be available in the next update. I think he said the 30-day update for EA College Football. Of course, this was a big talking point last year that those uniforms were not available, despite the fact that lots of other schools had basically every uniform they've ever worn before were available. Mississippi State did not make its most popular uniform, and I'll stay to that. I'll put my stamp on that. I do believe this is the most popular uniform, no matter what some people say. Now we have a pledge drive being put together on the message board to try to make the athletic department move forward. I think it's a great idea. I would say this: you're getting a lot of people in there posting, "Oh, I'll give this and give that." Start the Kickstarter, man. Start the GoFundMe. Stop telling people to what they'll give. Show me. Put it on there. Get that going. And it's tell the athletic director. Imagine if you do this, right? And a week from now, you've got $100,000, $200,000 sitting there. And you're like, we'll give that to you. All you got to do is this. If they say no to that, that's not good.
Hold it
They
in
don't want to deal with
abeyance.
Yeah. In advance.
Hold it in abeyance.
We'll put
Atop
it
the
in.
ring.
I'm going to put it in an account and it can sit there
We
and
see.
gather interest, you know?
Zach Selman versus Mark Keenum in a ladder match. The winner gets the
Winner gets the logo they want.
$150,000.
Do you think a week ago I was pretty convinced that this interlocking thing is never going to go anywhere, but the EA Sports information makes me think maybe there's a chance that something's going to happen, and I think they've inspired the fans. If they're going to give money, if you can put together a $200,000-$300,000 donation in terms of, hey, we'll give this to the Bulldog Initiative, we'll give this to State Excellence, wherever you want it to go. But you got to do this. I mean, we've talked about this so many times, Robbie. State fans are already paying for everything. They pay for their tickets. They're paying for, I had to think, when was that an alarm for? But I've already taken care of that. They pay for the tickets. They pay for the players. They're paying coaches' salaries. They're paying for facility upgrades. They're paying for everything. You have to give them something. Here's an instance where state fans are like, we'll pay you for this too. It's going to be really weird to say no.
It's kind of sad, isn't it? It's kind of sad.
It's not
Like
sad,
that,
it's
like
infuriating.
these people are literally funding, bankrolling your athletic department. They're paying for scholarships, they're paying for tickets, they're paying for lights, they're paying for IPFs, they're paying for players. The players that are going out on the field and competing on Saturdays and any other sports season are being funded by your fan base. And like a lot of these people want in return is to have this logo that means a lot to them, something that they were told for years, by the way, was not owned by Mississippi State, and we can't give you this because we don't own it. And it was a total 100% lie by the Mississippi State administration, whether that's university, athletics, whatever, whoever's behind that, they lied to Mississippi State fans, and they did that for decades. So now we know 100% this logo is available. It is available for use in any way that you would like to use it. Wyatt Craig wants to use it at Maroon and Company. It's there for him to use. And as far as I know, he's sold a lot of interlocking, and so has College Corner, and so has everybody else. There's been a lot of money made off that logo. So All they're asking for is to bring this back. It is objectively, if you will talk to people that aren't even following Mississippi State athletics, it is objectively the best uniform that Mississippi State has ever worn on a football field. And all you got to do is throw it back on them. We've already seen it on the field 2 years ago. And you give them a taste of it. And what I said whenever it happened is, you're going to give Mississippi State a taste of this and then take it away from them. I don't think that's possible. I thought when that happened that it would really turn things and we would start to see that more prominently used by Mississippi State and on the field. And they just kind of threw it back in the back of the building and said, no, we're going with this. And it's very difficult to look at the current units that they put on and compare those to what they have with interlocking. It's not even in the same realm. So this is a softball to me. This is an opportunity. If I'm Zach Selman, I'm like, all right, they want to raise some money. Let's go. If we can raise $1 million with the fan base, we will give you interlocking uniforms.
You know what would be
Boom.
interesting is if you did that, because we hear from a lot of people who are like, nobody cares, and nobody, this isn't that big a deal, it's just a few people who care about this. We hear that a lot. You raise $1 million, that kind of tells you, like, no, a lot of people care. So
And it's mutually beneficial.
yeah, so
Mississippi State gets a
that's what I
million
would do.
dollars
uh,
for the State
if
Excellence
I'm if
Fund.
I'm Selman, I would do, like, all right, we're willing to do this, but it's got to be a big number. It's got to be $1 million. And we'll find out, how legit it really is.
Yeah,
And
and that's and
I mean,
I
because
honestly
even
don't
if it,
know where this starts.
yeah.
I don't know if this is a university problem or if it's an athletics problem. I've tried to find out that, and it's kind of like the buck kind of gets passed around. I don't know where this comes from or why it's such a big deal that this logo can't be used. And I'm as tired of talking about this as any of the other people that complain about people complaining. I'm tired of talking about it too, but it's at the point now where it's pissing everybody off that they're not being listened to about this logo. And it might seem minor to a lot of people, but at the end of the day, it's just a result of people believing that they're not being heard and things are not being listened to when they're funding and bankrolling this entire athletic department. So to me, it just makes a whole lot of sense, like for Mississippi State to come out and say, all right, you want this logo? And the next month, if we can raise $1 million, we will bring this jersey back. And not for a game. This is your jersey. This is how you identify Mississippi State football from here on out is the interlocking. And if you want to make some alterations to the jersey or whatever, I'm open to that. But that MSU on the helmet is what people want to see again.
I agree.
It brings back great memories for people that grew up in the, even with the MSJ, I know it was a totally different logo, but those bring back great memories for people. People that played in that era, people that grew up in that era, they remember all those great teams and those great moments. And it just was something that you identify with Mississippi State. And if we're talking branding, I think you can easily brand that around Mississippi State football.
Well, that's because that's what people recognize. When State rolled those 98 uniforms out 2 years ago, all of your media people were like, that's the Mississippi State that I know. That's what I remember from Mississippi State. This is what they should do. Well, people like Andy Staples and Brandon Marcello and Ari Wasserman and those guys, that is the college football media. Those are the people you're trying to brand to get to talk about you. I had this debate with somebody once before. It was like, we talk about branding. I'm not worried about what happens in Times Square. I'm not worried about some random New Yorker who sees a Mississippi State shirt and decides they want to buy it. Branding is about your fans. It's those people who buy your merchandise. And so you have to market and brand to them. And
And
so,
again,
and I granted,
objectively, the best looking helmet that they've
I
ever
don't have a
had.
degree in marketing. I want to point that out. I'll make that very clear. But I mean, it just makes a lot of sense to me. So I'll be interested to see what happened. I feel like there's some momentum right this second, but we'll have to
And
wait.
I want to go back too. We've had a lot of people say, well, y'all wanted the state script and you got that. Again, this is the logo that I would prefer on a Mississippi
We
State
did not
football
know
helmet.
when we were talking about the state script that we could have the interlocking. We thought that was
We had
gone.
no clue. We had no clue that was possible. We were told that was not happening. Had we known that, that would be our push. But at the same time, we do love the state script.
I do like it.
I think that it is that helmet looks a billion times better with the interlocking on it. So we might sound hypocritical, but we're really not on this because, again, we had no clue that the interlocking was a possibility. But the best thing I think that can come out of this is Zach Selman and Mark Keenum and whoever agrees that if we can raise $1 million from these fans, let's take advantage of it. They're doing it everywhere else. Indiana brought back a logo that they've been pushing for. Kansas State, I think, is doing something. All these schools are saying, "You asked, we listened. Here's what we did for you. We gave you." Arkansas got the slobbering hog on the center court at basketball, and they raised money for that. So I think this is mutually beneficial. Zach Selman shows fans that he's listening, which he already has done that, but this is just another step in the right direction. The university shows that they're listening to fans. They care about the fans' opinion. The fans get what they want, and at the same time, you raise money and you push forward to your state excellence fund. So the drive for the interlocking $1 million drive. I mean, why not? I don't see a reason why you can't do something like that, and everybody be happy in the end.
We'll see where it takes us. All right.
Also, you don't have to sacrifice winning games.
Well, make sure you make the disclaimer. You can do both. Make the disclaimer. All right. Next week, I'm not sure who our SEC preview is, but we'll figure it out. Opponent preview next week. There isn't one. We're on the bye week there. We've got linebackers and cornerbacks. Robbie.
Linebackers would be okay.
Linebackers will be great. And then hopefully nobody else famous will die between now and then. All right. Talk to you guys next week. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.